Hey folks, Ben Birch from Nova M Radio here. Due to technical difficulties, most of tonight's show was a replay of a past show. I have edited out all of the live segments, and that is what the podcast tonight will consist of. Total running time is around 30 minutes.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. We're going to cause an awful lot of fireworks tonight. I'm probably going to lose half my audience this evening, but that's just too bad, right? Thanks to KTLK's Johnny Wendell, KTLK in Los Angeles, for filling in for me Friday night. And thanks to everybody who attended the Saturday night forum in Phoenix with Scott Ritter and me. We had a great time, and it was wasn't a whole lot of interaction with the audience. This was with written questions. I can understand that format. As a matter of fact, I think that format makes sense. But afterwards, with the press the flesh get together, a lot of people there to get an autograph in Scott's book and to chat with me for a moment, and that was just really a nice evening, and I just need to tell you folks in Phoenix, if you haven't met some of the people at KT, what's our station there? KPHX in Phoenix, you need to get to know them. What a good crew. Everybody that works at that station, from the CEO, John Manzo, all the way to spreading out to the account executives, the producers, the board operators. It's just one hell of a crew, and that's one of the reasons Nova M is becoming the successful liberal network in radio. It's a good time. It's a good time. Thanks to everybody who made that happen. When I got back, I looked at the back here to Atlanta. I looked at the 60-minute segment on Don Siegelman, former Democratic governor. Jesus God, if you can go to democraticunderground.com and find the entire 13-minute segment, if you missed it on 60 Minutes, I recommend that every American take a look at this. There are 60, I think the 50 or 60. Federal attorneys in the United States, Democrat and Republican, who are demanding a congressional investigation of what happened to Don Siegelman. The people interviewed on the 60 Minutes segment about the former government were, for the most part, Republicans who are outraged that the Bush crime family and Karl Rove and these monstrous sons of bitches who have so corrupted, so horrifically corrupted our system, are allowed to just walk around this country as if they own it. You need to see it. If you have not seen this video, this 13-minute long, 60-minute segment on the former governor, Democratic governor of Alabama, who is nothing more than a complete political prisoner, put in jail on false testimony, ordered by Karl Rove and, one assumes, Dick Cheney to nail him. Anybody in this country can be convicted and put in prison. We all know that, on false testimony. If people are willing to perjure themselves and if the prosecutors are willing to use false evidence, anybody can go to prison for any charge a prosecutor wants to come up with. What has happened to Don Siegelman is a blot on this country, a stain. No, he wasn't assassinated, so it's not as bad as a political assassination in the literal term. But what happened to Don Siegelman is a stain on this country that will remain as long as this man is in prison. And if this democratically controlled House and Senate does not do something to get this man out of jail, I don't care what it takes, then once again, the Democrats who control the House and the Senate have proved the fact that they are not worth the powder to blow them to hell. It's a horrifying commentary on what can happen to somebody in this country because they belong to the wrong political party. This is a Soviet-style persecution and prosecution, if ever there has been one. And I will guarantee you I would be saying the same thing if Don Siegelman were a Republican. This is unbelievable stuff. So if you did not see the 60-minute segment last night on Don Siegelman, it's all over the Internet, but you can get it at democraticunderground.com. It's there. Watch it. In addition to watching that, you might be interested in knowing that there was a blackout during that segment of 60 Minutes last night. WHNT Television, Channel 19, in Huntsville, Alabama, which, by the way, if when they decide to give the United States an enema, Huntsville may be where they stick the tube. But this station that is owned by the Bass Brothers, it's owned by Oak Hill Capital Partners, and that's an investment firm founded by billionaire Texan Robert Bass, who's the son of another oilman, Perry Bass. Robert's brother Ed was a Yale classmate, personal friend of Bush's, and this family put up $25 million to finance Harkin Oil in the late 80s when Bush was serving on the board of directors. You remember Harkin Energy, right? The Bass Brothers Political Action Committee donated more than $200,000 to Bush's gubernatorial campaigns. Their personal donations topped $250,000, according to UTWatch.universityoftexaswatch.org. Lee Bass was among the Bush pioneers in 2000-2004, raising at least $100,000, according to Texans for Public Justice. It goes on and on. So these filthy sons of bitches decide that the people in Huntsville, Alabama, in northern Alabama, are not to see the Don Siegelman segment. They're not going to see it. So just before the segment was to start, people in the northern part of the state of Alabama who were tuned in to the CBS affiliate found this on their screen instead. We apologize that you missed the first segment of 60 Minutes tonight featuring the prosecution of Don Siegelman. It was a technical problem with CBS out of New York. Well, on hearing reports of the missed segment, Scott Horton, who's a writer blogging at Harper's Magazine, Scott Horton phoned CBS headquarters in New York, and CBS said, quote, "There's no delicate way to put this. The WHNT claim is not true. There were no transmission difficulties. The problems were peculiar to that channel, which had the signal and had functioning transmitters." Mike Nizza, writing at the blogging New York Times, says, quote, "I was told that the decision to blacken screens across northern Alabama, quote, could only have been an editorial call," end quote. The billionaire sons of bitches who own the station decided that the people of northern Alabama in their broadcast area would not see the report. The station denied it was an editorial decision, but it also changed its explanation. At first, the station management said, "We can assure you there was no intent whatsoever to keep anyone from seeing the broadcast." That's according to Stan Pilant, WHNT's president. But the assurance alone seemed unlikely to appease all of his viewers, according to Mike Nizza, writing at the Times. According to Mr. Pilant, the problem was fixed quickly, resulting in only 12 minutes of downtime. But isn't it strange that 12 minutes was most of the 13 minutes of the segment on Don Siegelman? And thousands of miles away, another channel abruptly turned dark on Friday night, but this one didn't claim technical difficulties after two broadcasters who had been banned by the Pakistani government appeared on the AAJ TV channel on Friday. The channel's programming was suddenly cut off and replaced with this message. Quote, "Dear users, please note Pakistan Electronic Media Regulatory Authority temporarily suspended transmission of independent news TV channels until further instructions." End quote. Now, regular programming returned hours later without further explanation, but the message was made even clearer than the incident earlier this month when one of the banned broadcasters sparked another blackout. And as Mike Nizza writes, unlike the puzzling episode in northern Alabama, the one in Pakistan seemed easily tied to the nation's political leaders. A Pakistan television, cable, and satellite channel resumed programming Saturday, several hours after it was shut down because it was not broadcasting politically correct information. So it's not just in Pakistan. It's also in northern Alabama. If you want to complain about this, it's WHNT Television, Channel 19, in Huntsville, Alabama. Man. And again, please look at the segment on Don Siegelman and what has happened to him and his family. It is an absolute American political tragedy. It is a stain on our political system that will not go away. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Channel 19, WHNT in Huntsville, Alabama, has now issued a statement saying that, gee, we're sorry, that was our fault. And if you missed it at the normal time on Sunday night, we replayed it at 10 p.m. and we replayed it tonight at 6 p.m. and we thank CBS for their help in the matter. Really? Well, isn't that special? Also, I made a mistake, and Robin Dallas points it out, it's state attorneys general who have, Democrats and Republicans who have demanded that Congress investigate this, not federal attorneys, states' attorney generals, Democrat and Republican, who are in agreement that what happened to Don Siegelman was exactly what used to happen to people in the Soviet Union. So, all right, where are we? The situation with the Clinton and Obama campaigns is really starting to get on my nerves. And I have to say that most of getting on my nerves is coming from the Clinton camp, especially when I find out now. Somebody sent me a story from October just past from The Guardian of the UK and also from International Herald Tribune, a day apart, October of 2007. about the Clinton communication team headed by Howard Wolfson and including other people who have maintained, opened up a pipeline to the Drudge Report. And part of the Clinton campaign strategy has been to feed information to the Drudge Report so that the Drudge Report can release it, and then mainstream media, which cruises the Drudge Report sometimes four or five times a day, I think the Drudge Report gets something like 500 million hits a month, so it can be picked up by mainstream media. The information that the Clinton campaign, apparently, now I'm not saying Hillary Clinton is aware of this, you draw your own conclusions. This is the way it was reported by the International Herald Tribune. Clinton's communications team, led by Howard Wolfson, is not leaving Drudge to the Republicans. Five current and former Democratic officials said Clinton has on her side the closest thing her party has ever had to a Republican leaker to Drudge in a woman named Tracy Seffel, S-E-F-L, a former Democratic National Committee official. The official said that Seffel had established a friendly relationship with Drudge and that Clinton's campaign often worked quietly through her to open a line of communication with Drudge. And as New York Magazine reported recently, it has escaped no one that Drudge has sometimes mentioned Clinton favorably on his syndicated radio program, even if no one really knows whether his comments reflect admiration for her or simply a recognition that keeping her in the news is good for his business. We have more here. We'll get back to this right after the break. This is starting to really get on my nerves. What Hillary Clinton is doing, and I know it's going to piss off all you Clinton fans out there. I'm sorry. Call me a sexist. Call me an agitator within the Democratic Party. You know, I'm so used to it. It really doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what. You know, as long as I'm behind the microphone, I will say what has to be said.
More powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Lynn Sweet, writing at the Chicago Sun-Times, talks about retired Air Force General Scott Gratian, who accompanied Senator Barack Obama on his trip to Kenya in 2006. 2006. And during that trip, Barack Obama tried on local garb over his clothes during a visit to a rural region in the country, a picture of which is now at the Drudge Report and all over the Internet. General Gratian said, quote, Obama was merely being a great guest, end quote. The main story on the Drudge Report on Monday shows Obama fitted as a Somali elder. And Drudge's story said, quote, Clinton staffers, who were not named, were circulating the picture. The Obama campaign said release of this photo was, quote, fear-mongering and divisive, end quote. The Clinton campaign said the senator has been widely photographed wearing traditional dress, suggesting there was nothing to raise a fuss about. That is one of the slimiest, most disingenuous statements yet to come out of the crashing and burning Hillary Clinton campaign. The Clinton campaign knows absolutely that this election is going to be determined by independents and Republicans, because on the Democratic side, it's so close. And they're running a picture of Barack Obama, 2 years old, in any kind of African or Muslim dress, absolute red flag in front of a bull. They know this, and they're doing it anyway. General Gratian was with Obama, according to the Sun-Times, on every leg of the African visit. including where the picture was taken, an area that does not often get the attention of foreign visitors. Grashin is a Swahili-speaking retired Air Force Major General, a native of St. Charles, Illinois, who spent a lot of his youth in Africa. The writer, Len Sweet, at the Sun-Times said, I asked him about the circumstances surrounding the photo, and Grashin said, I was along on that picture. They were seeing a community mobilization plan in the village and witnessed a live auction of camels and other livestock. And during the course of this, Obama was given an outfit, and as a great guest, he tried it on, much in the way, General Grashin said, people try on Christmas gifts they may not want to keep. Obama did, according to Grashin, what any leader should do, accept the gift, accept the hospitality, accepting a gift of friendship in a way we expect. Obama foreign policy advisor Susan Rice, who served as an African expert in Bill Clinton's White House.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 13 before the hour. Sorry for the technical glitches. We're back live. Where was I? Obama campaign manager David Plouffe said in a statement today that release of that photo of Barack Obama dressed in tribal clothing, quote, on the very day that Senator Clinton is giving a speech about restoring respect for America and the world, her campaign has engaged in the most shameful, offensive fear-mongering we've seen from either party in this election. He went on to say this is part of a disturbing pattern that led her county chairs to resign in Iowa, her campaign chairman to resign in New Hampshire, and it's exactly the kind of divisive politics that turns away Americans of all parties and diminishes respect for America and the world, end quote. Now, in response to that, Clinton campaign manager, the new one, Maggie Williams, issued a statement saying, quote, if Barack Obama's campaign wants to suggest that a photo of him wearing traditional Somali clothing is divisive, they should be ashamed. Hillary Clinton has worn the traditional clothing of countries she has visited and had those photos published widely, end quote. Now, if that kind of a snotty, dumbass statement is not the worst comment that Clinton campaign manager Maggie Williams could have made, Ms. Williams, may I suggest to you that your candidate has not been accused of being a Muslim. Your candidate does not have a Muslim father. Your candidate is not an African American. Your candidate is Hillary Clinton. Now, as willing as I have been to try to absorb some of this stuff from the Clinton campaign, is just, you know, it's politics. It ain't softball. This is presidential politics. People are going to get rabbit chopped. People are going to have things said about them. As much as I've tried to factor that in, this is it for me. Hillary Clinton and her campaign can go straight to hell. This is it for me. I've had enough. End of story. In addition, Clinton's assault on Obama shifted to heavy sarcasm yesterday. Did you hear that? Hillary Clinton mocked Obama as much as chewing him out for his tactics. Let me play for you. Wait a second. Where is it? Do we have that? Do we have that bit where Kathy, where she talks very mockingly about that's it. That's what we've got. Okay. Well, what she said, she was at a campaign rally at Rhode Island College in Providence, Rhode Island, And she stood up on stage in front of everybody and she said, "Now, I could stand here and say, let's just get everybody together. Let's get unified. The sky will open. The light will come down. Celestial choirs will be singing. And everyone will know we should do the right thing and the world will be perfect." This is what Hillary Clinton said. Snotty, sarcastic, childish. Do you need any more proof that Senator Clinton is not capable of being the President of the United States? Her remarks drew chuckles from the audience at Rhode Island College. Now, this mockery came a day after she said, "Shame on you, Barack Obama!" over what she termed deceptive mailings in Ohio about her stances on universal health care and NAFTA. She didn't say what Obama said is incorrect. What she said was, "Shame on you." Now, let me play something from yesterday, from Meet the Press, media whore number one, Tim Russert, discussing this Hillary Barack flack with his guest panel. He played two comparison clips from Hillary about Obama. And it's pretty astonishing. Media whore number one, Tim Russert, said to the panel of pundits, "Let's show Hillary Clinton from the debate on Thursday and then on the campaign trail yesterday, Saturday. Hillary Clinton decided to compare Barack Obama to George Bush, suggesting both of them represented change that you didn't know much about, Bush and Obama. What a difference 48 hours makes."
No matter what happens in this contest, and I am honored to be here with Barack Obama. I am absolutely honored. Shame on you, Barack Obama. It is time you ran a campaign consistent with your messages in public. That's what I expect from you. Meet me in Ohio. Let's have a debate about your tactics and your behavior in this campaign. You know, people have talked a lot about change in this election. Well, we have lived through some of the worst change that anybody can imagine the last 7 years. You know, when he ran for office, he promised change, didn't he? He promised change as a compassionate conservative, and the American people got shafted, and we're going to have to make up for all that we have lived through the last 7 years. So, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Say what? Because both Bush and Obama promised change? That means Barack Obama would be as much of a liar and a con artist and a coward and a sneak and a disaster as Bush? Senator Clinton, may I suggest your, quote, logic, end quote, here would not fool a third grader. Stop it.
Stop it. You're the one tearing apart the Democratic Party because you can't defeat him in the primaries.
So you're resorting to this. Stop it. Oh. Sure she will. This is what happens, I guess, when you start out believing that you have a God-given right to be president of the United States. It's yours. And then some upstart comes out of the bushes and says, "Wait a second. Maybe it's not yours, Senator. If it is yours, you're going to have to beat me."